talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, I'll tell you what, we got a big show coming up for you here today. I've got U.S. Forest Service Chief Tom Schultz. I got a chance to hear his keynote presentation yesterday at a Congressional Western Caucus event in Whitefish, and then I got to catch up with Chief Schultz after that event as well. So the Forest Service Chief, we'll have him coming up later on in the 9 o'clock hour of the show this morning, plus the new lieutenant governor alongside Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. The new Florida lieutenant governor is a Green Beret veteran who grew up in Scobey, Montana. We'll feature that story later on in the 9 o'clock hour of the show as well. But I mentioned that the Congressional Western Caucus is in the Flathead Valley of Montana this week. And, of course, Montana's Western District Congressman and former Trump Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke is hosting several members of Congress and other key Trump administration staff in the Flathead this week. Congressman Zinke, great to have you on the show this week. A whole series of events you're hosting this week.
Well, in addition to that, we were at the Range Riders ball game last night, and what a great facility. It's nice to host. We have a lot of senior members. Montana issues, Western issues are a little different. And so it's important to highlight some of the challenges that we see here.
Yeah, what a beautiful facility that stadium is. I took my daughter to the game last night as well and got to see that nice crack of the home run. And, with the mountains in the background, just an incredible facility. I remember when the Biden Interior Department was suing the baseball team because of their logo. I mean, that's just how silly the last regime was.
Well, and let me remind everyone. So what the Park Service decided to do was they would decide that they would take IP, intellectual property claim, over the arrowhead that the Range Riders were using as their logo. Now, who else uses the arrowhead? So I pointed out to then Secretary Deb Haaland, how about the Kansas City Chiefs? How about Montana Highway Patrol? You ever look at the brim of a Montana Highway Patrol hat? What is it? It's an arrowhead. But this is the outrageous overreach of radicals in D.C. that I witness every day that would say, you own the oil, we own the arrowhead, and we're going to sue you. And so a little Pioneer League team that's great for the community is getting sued by our government over the use of an arrowhead. And we won.
That's so right. And they won last night as well, right? And so, it's great to see that logo still flying high there. We've talked so much about the serious harm that the Biden regime caused to this country over the last 4 years and the serious work the Trump administration is now doing to fix it all. But that's just one example of the silliness of the Biden regime as well. More to follow with Montana's Western District Congressman Ryan Zinke here. Joining us for a few minutes. We can take your phone calls as well here if you want to jump in on the conversation. Back right after this.
It's August 20th, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. Today is National Radio Day. German physicist Heinrich Hertz first identified radio waves in 1886, but Italian inventor Guglielmo Marconi is credited as the inventor of radio. Commercial use began in the 1900s. About 20 years later, it was so popular, people were scrambling to buy radios to put in their homes. In 2020, California Senator Kamala Harris accepts the nomination for vice president, becoming the first U.S. woman of color on a major party ticket.
There is no vaccine for racism.
Also on this day in 1619, the first slaves from Africa arrive in the Virginia colony of Jamestown. Several Angolans kidnapped by the Portuguese get off the ship at Port Comfort. Today, it's known as Hampton Road. In 1911, the first around-the-world telegram is sent by the New York Times office via commercial service. Born on this day in 1992, pop singer Demi Lovato. I'm CJ Papa. That's your Fox Daily Snapshot.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August. be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
When I smoke weed, I get lost in the music. I like to isolate each instrument. The rhythmic bass, the harmonies on the piano, the sticky melody.
Hey, careful, babe. There's someone crossing the street.
Sorry, I didn't see him there.
If you feel different, you drive different. Don't drive high. It's dangerous and illegal everywhere. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, we got a big show coming up for you tomorrow. I will actually be broadcasting live from the Western Congressional Caucus. So I know we've got a number of members of Congress that are already reaching out to our team to join us on the show tomorrow live from the Flathead in the Western Congressional Caucus. So we're going to get to hear from a number of different members covering everything from wolves to grizzlies, firefighting capabilities, and so much more. Of course, the host of this Western Congressional Caucus event this week is Montana Congressman Ryan Zinke, and you can jump in on the conversation by calling 406-294-0970. Congressman Zinke, you're a Navy SEAL veteran. You were a commander at SEAL Team 6, for those who don't know. And so I'd love to get your take. I mean, what a remarkable few days that we've just seen here on the foreign policy front, on the peace front. You know, a president of strength, the president of peace, we can call him as well. First, it started with the peace summit with Putin on Friday, and then looked like remarkable meetings with Zelensky and European leaders on Monday.
All right, look at the track record. You have an Armenian-Azerbaijan peace treaty. We have a stand down of Pakistan and India, toe-to-toe nuclear war. You have a firm engagement on the horrors of the Iranian regime and the risk with Hamas. And now you turn to Ukraine. He said he'd solve it day one. You know what? That was a hard nut. But now you look at where he's at. He got a direct with Putin, a direct with Zelensky. He has had small negotiations with the EU, and leading to that is Macron, and now there is direct talks between Putin and Zelensky, and quite frankly, what's the objective? Peace, and stop the killing. You know, those of us that have been to war, they're losing between 2,000 and 5,000 troops a day. You know, and look, yeah, you've seen war, I've seen war. Let's just stop the killing. And where I think it's going to go, I think the Crimean Peninsula will remain Russian territory. I think there'll be a land bridge between Russia and the Crimean Peninsula. I think Ukraine will not go into NATO. I think the president's been very, very clear about that from the very beginning. And I think there'll have to be free elections at some point in time. In Ukraine, and we will guarantee defense under conditions. I think that's a reasonable outcome of a very vicious, violent, and tragic war that shouldn't have happened. And I also agree, look, if Trump was at the helm, it wouldn't have happened. But it's taken leadership like Trump to get where we were to where we are today.
Yeah, no, totally agree with you on that front. It's not going to be a perfect outcome. It's not going to be an ideal outcome. But unfortunately, President Trump is trying to clean up the mess that he inherited. I totally agree with you that had Donald Trump remained the president of the United States, this invasion never would have happened. You know, it was the weakness of the Biden regime. It was the disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan. The sharks smelled blood in the water, and the sharks went on the attack. But you know, Putin was invading under Republican presidents like Bush, and then again under Obama. He played Hillary Clinton when she was Secretary of State. And yet, look at the liberal media mob trying to undermine President Trump and trying to undermine his peace deal efforts.
Well, and you're looking at the context of what happened on Ukraine and the resources we're spending. You know, $300 million. You know, it's really hard to go around Montana a lot of times when our bridges, you know, like Knoxon are falling apart. Bridges like Anderson Bridge or the sewer system in Sealy Lake. So it's really hard to go around and say, you know what, we're going to spend money rather than here in America repairing our infrastructure. We're going to send money to Ukraine to fight a war that should never have happened. So, it, you know, resources, and we're going to, the U.S. is going to have some guarantee of you know, force with that. I would probably be a NATO country. But let's end it, and then let's turn to what we're going to do as a global security about Iran. You know, the same folks that, you know, the same radical Islamic regime, evil, and you know, and people ask, are they really evil? Well, you know, the Ayatollah Khomeini, and let me give you a quote, that women in custody should be raped before they are murdered so they don't go to heaven. This is the type of people that Iran as a regime, Hezbollah, Houthis, Hamas, all stem from an evil. And think of the prosperity in the Middle East globally if that regime were to fall. So, you know, I think there's a lot of bad characters out there in the world. I think this administration, Rubio, has been an absolute superstar, knocked it out of the park. I think, you know, you look at where Pete Hegseth has taken the military to where we were. I think this is an exciting time to be an American. And quite frankly, you know, Congress has to keep up. But it's nice to have the Western Caucus here. And lastly, I just want to point out that I think it's an important point, but look at the lineup we have. We have Steve Gaines, you know, now senior. I went to Boise State with Steve, very, very sharp, and now in a senior position in the Senate. We have
Congressman Zinke, hold that thought. Hold that thought. I know we can't hear the music right now, but I got to run to a quick break. Hold that thought because we want to talk about the Montana First, the Make Montana Great Again agenda as well. So stand by. We'll come right back to you right after this.
Fox Sports Update.
The Bronx Bombers living up to their nickname again.
Joe Carlos Stanton. Shane Byers getting rocked here in the early going.
High drive, right center field. Mangum back. Track. Wall. See ya. The Yankees go back to back to back. And they lead 3-0.
Aaron Judge, Cody Bellinger, and Giancarlo Stanton homering in the first inning on the YES Network. The Yankees clubbing a total of 9 home runs on the night, tying a club record that they actually set earlier this season. New York beats the Rays in Tampa at Steinbrenner Field 13-3. The Yankees hold the first wild card spot in the American League. Meanwhile, in Philadelphia,
seventh inning out of Major League Baseball. Third most extra base hits. JT smokes one to deep left.
The first-place Phillies beat the Mariners on NBC Sports Philadelphia 6-4 thanks to that JT Realmuto home run. Kyle Schwarber added his 44th dinger of the season. Speaking of 44, Shohei Ohtani hit home run number 44 as the Dodgers beat the Rockies 11-4. In a showdown of first-place teams, the Tigers outlast the Astros in 10 innings, 1-0. Houston walking in the winning run. The Cubs sweep a doubleheader from the first-place Brewers, 6-4 and 4-1 in the nightcap. The Royals have won five straight, beating the Rangers 5-2. Kansas City's Bobby Witt Jr. with career home run number 100. The Mets have won three straight after pounding the Nationals 8-1. Blue Jays beat the Pirates 7-3. Orioles beat the Red Sox 4-3 in 11 innings. The Padres snap a four-game losing streak with a win over the Giants 5-1. Other winners on the diamond, the Cardinals, the Braves, the Athletics, the Reds, and the Diamondbacks. I'm Frank Lanza.
Get more on the Fox Sports app and foxsports.com. Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Yeah, you can message us on the Montana Talks app, or if you want to jump in on the conversation, if you have a question or a comment here for Congressman Ryan Zinke, give us a ring, 406-294-0970. Just got a great message on the Montana Talks app here from our friend Lee Ettinger. In Big Fork, Lee is a Marine Corps veteran. He's got the Power Plus pain aid that I've been telling you about. But he says, I'm ready for the Make Montana Great Again agenda. Congressman Zinke, you were talking about, you know, here you've got several members of Congress in town for the Western Congressional Caucus. You were talking about the Montana lineup. You know, when it comes to the Make Montana Great Again agenda, I mean, that's partly what I'll talk about with Forest Service Chief Tom Schultz in the next hour is Montana mining, our timber industry, and more.
You know, this is an exciting time because it is Make America Great Again. You know, it's inexcusable in Lincoln County, Sanders County, that we can't, you know, we live in a sea of trees and you can't harvest one of them. And we're burning down our forests, you know, every year. And whether you're a climate activist or denier, it doesn't relieve you the responsibility of managing our forests. So let's get back in, let's look at working forests and make sure there's public access across the forest and let's start managing. But when the sustainable yield in Cootie, sustainable, is 220 million, and then they drop it to 5. And that's not even enough for corn. That means that every year you're going to have overgrowth, and when they actually spend time in the forest, not you know, flying over and taking pictures, but actually get in the forest. The forest is dead up there, and the only chance for ondulates to eat is along a road that they're shutting down. So we got to go back to public access and take care of our timber assets. And, you know, we should have a timber economy again in this country. And then, you know, I'm a geologist. You know, obviously Interior had U.S. Geological Survey, and we've done a lot of work in Montana, and there are enormous possibilities of particularly critical minerals. There is enormous opportunity in Butte, Montana. Imagine that. Subsurface. But you know, we couldn't get a permit. It wasn't a priority. And all of a sudden, China runs all the critical minerals market that we need to produce and process in this country. And Butte, Montana, God bless them, have a history of doing it, you know. And we've learned, you know, how to mine techniques. But, you know, that's a great place. And the resources there. So, you know, lastly is power. Is that there's great opportunity in Montana to power these mini nuclear facilities that are, you know, smaller than what's on a submarine. And look, if we can encapsulate nuclear power in a pressurized hull, submerse it 1,000-plus feet, arm it with a propulsion system, and make it a United States submarine, look, we can do it on surface, you know, safely, 100%. And some of these new systems, you know, produce an enormous amount of power, you know, in the size of a conics block. Montana should be leading this technology.
Yeah, I got to attend some of the panel discussions that took place yesterday at the Western Congressional Caucus, and our friend Jesse Ramos, who is the state director for Americans for Prosperity Montana, he spoke as part of one of those panels. And, of course, Jesse grew up in Libby And, you know, Jesse, he's a younger guy. He's still in his 30s. But he talked about how, you know, in the early 2000s, when we still had, you know, some of these mines up and running, and before our timber industry started getting annihilated by Judge Malloy and the Democrats, he says, you know, a kid in Libby could graduate high school and get a job at the mine in what amounts to a $90,000 a year wage in today's wages. And you could buy a home and you could raise a family. And he says, and then now he says, because those mining jobs went away and because our timber industry has wreaked havoc, he says, you're lucky if you get a $30,000 a year job in the tourism industry in today's wages. And so this is why this Make Montana Great Again agenda is so important. I spoke with Chief Schultz from the Forest Service yesterday about this Fast 41 rule that they're working on right now to try to help get these mines up and running in places like Libby, because that's so key, especially to the kids that grew up here that want these high wage jobs to stay here.
Well, and then we also talked about, you know, the Grizzlies. Look, you know, I love Grizzlies. You know, I'm a big Grizz fan, so I love the Grizzlies. But the Grizzlies have recovered. The greater Yellowstone grizzly population has well recovered, documented. We know that Continental has, and the cabinet, you know, from most of the habitat is north, and you got to include Canada, when you look at the cabinet. Yet you got radical judges that shut down roads, that shut down logging projects, and look at the condition of our forests. So it's hurting the economy. We burned more 2x4s than we ever harvested last year. Let's go back to a working forest, a healthy forest. Let's look at diversity of species, prescribed burns, and that's have an economy that makes sense. But there are some exciting possibilities and real things happening in Lincoln County. You know, Nomad is up there now, manufacturing, a company that you know, started from little and what you know, well led, and they've expanded, you know, globally. You have Proof Research. We were there with technology, and then Bozeman. You know, a lot of exciting technology and photonics, laser technology. So you know, Montana across is in a good position, you know, to kind of lead in technology. But a lot of the technology too is going to be fueled by energy, and it goes back to we have enormous opportunity to lead in energy. You know, all the above, everywhere has its place, but. You know, look, you know, we have enormous gas reserves and a lot of opportunity, but we need to make sure that we build, you know, made Montana energy too.
Yeah, one of the guys I enjoyed talking with yesterday as I was, you know, attending these panel discussions, et cetera, at the Western Congressional Caucus was Congressman Tom Tiffany out of Wisconsin, and he's been kind of, you know, taking charge when it comes to some of the debates over wolves in Congress and things like that. So it was fun chatting with him. He asked Jessica and I. He said, "Hey, have you guys been getting hit with this wildfire smoke from Canada like we have? Because they've been getting hit really bad with it in Wisconsin." We're like, "Oh yeah, it's practically every year now, starting in May." And I was telling him about how there was this story about how it was an arsonist in Saskatchewan that they found was responsible for setting 30 fires up there north of the border. And so apparently the leftist government is adopting the Malloy-like, the Democrat Party of America-like wildfire fighting policies as well. But yeah, on that front, here in Montana, you know, other states apparently are now looking to do the very same deals like we've got now just signed with Governor Gianforte and the Forest Service to have more of a cooperative agreement to A, get some more timber harvested, and B, do a better job at fuels reduction efforts as well.
Well, and it's also how we fight fires, right? Is that, and there's a, you know, obviously, you know, Tim G has enormous experience in aerial, you know, firefighting. And you know, he, like everyone else that's in the industry and government, is frustrated by the speed of government. They, you know, they just box it out. And what we've become is ineffective, bureaucratic, and we're wasting resources. So we're also looking at better technology. There's no reason why, you know, you know, from a military perspective, we're talking that this technology is available. It's, you know, in the SEAL Team Six, you know, 25 years ago. So those that are on the front line fighting the fires need to have the best technology. And they still look at smoking embers like getting online and feeling in soil for hot spots. I mean, why don't we deliver them with thermal imagers with a small drone that can pinpoint those things so much more efficiently and make sure they're safe from the field? Where we have fire habits, all this technology. But anyway, that's a lot of that was, you know, what we discussed during this Western Caucus. And the other point is, Aaron, is it's important to have other members across. We had members from Florida, from the Carolinas. We had members from across the West and California as well, the chairman. And like a lot of these national issues on endangered species, we need to make sure other members understand what Montana, you know, is facing. You know, there's grizzly population that's out of control. They need to go from protected into the management box. Let's manage them. But if you're living in Ovando, Aaron, I mean, every outbuilding's hot-wired. They had an unfortunate gal get killed, you know, right by the restaurant in town. So, come on.
Yeah, I was just driving through Ovando. And of course, they're near Helmville, I think the home of your favorite rodeo there. Yeah, they had a fire breakout there, so we could see the crews camped out, getting ready to attack that one as well. Congressman Zinke, about a minute to go here. Greatly appreciate your time this morning. I know we'll look forward to chatting with more of the Western Congressional Caucus members on tomorrow's show. If you have one thing, you've got these other members of Congress captive, you're showing off Northwest Montana here, highlighting our unique issues. If you had one thing to communicate to those members, what would that one thing be?
We're not selling public land. But we got to focus on management. And there are areas where highest and best use. As an example, there's out of Lima, there's like 30 acres the U.S. Forest Service owns. It's right next to the school district. It makes sense. It doesn't provide, refuge. It doesn't provide, public access. It's just an isolated. Okay, great. Put housing there. But there's a whole process. But, also, look, we face a lot of challenges. And it's important for members of Congress to see what we're facing on, from Glacier Park to Flathead Lake, make sure we keep it at full pool.
Great opportunity for them to see it firsthand. So now when you talk about the Flathead Lake levels and you talk about the reservation system at Glacier and some of these other things, boom, they can see it. They can feel it. They know how important it is. All right, Congressman Zinke, greatly appreciate your time. Thanks for being with us.
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Right back into it here with Montana Talks. Caden, if you just want to send that guest, send him over, patch him over to my cell phone here as I'm broadcasting remotely here. Yeah, we had him on the phone line, and then I think we must have lost him there. So, yeah, just patch him through on my cell phone, and we'll get the guest on. Because, we got a great guest joining us now here on Montana Talks. Greg Pemberton is the chairman of the police union in Washington, D.C. So he is the chairman of the D.C. Police Union. We've been talking about the crime in our nation's capital, the number of carjackings alone. We brought that topic up yesterday. And actually, I had an incredible conversation with Chief Stephen Sund. Chief Sund was the chief of the U.S. Capitol Police on January 6th, but before he was the chief of the Capitol Police, he spent 25 years as a cop for the Washington, D.C. police. But, isn't it just interesting that all these people are out there on the left, the Democrats, are bashing President Trump for finally bringing a focus on the crime affecting our nation's capital, and then, wait a minute, one of the things that Chief Sund told me yesterday is he says, hey, look, we've done this before. We have brought federal law enforcement agencies in to Washington, D.C. to assist law enforcement in Washington, D.C. before. President Trump is simply doing what's been done before. And if I'm not mistaken, it's even happened under Democrat presidents also. But yet, if Trump does it, they just want to bash Trump no matter what. Yeah, I think we've got him with us on the phone lines right now, Greg Pemberton, who is the chairman of the D.C. Police Union. Greg, great to have you on Montana Talks. Thanks so much for being with us.
Aaron, brother, thanks for having me. Pleasure to be here.
Yeah, and thanks for what you do to back up the men and women in blue as well. I mentioned this on the show last week. It's like, okay, here's all these folks on the left. Here's all these folks in the liberal media mob, and they're bashing President Trump for working to stop the violent crime in Washington, D.C. And I said last week, I said the very union representing the police officers themselves backs what's taking place right now.
Well, that's right. And what's important to note here is exactly how we got here. So 5 years ago in 2020, at the height of all of this anti-police rhetoric, our D.C. City Council, the local government here, passed a piece of legislation called the Comprehensive Policing and Justice Reform Act. This was a sweeping piece of legislation that was designed to hamstring cops, to reduce the size of the police department, to reduce the scope and responsibility of police officers, and really exposed them to administrative, civil, and even criminal penalties, even when they were out doing their job properly and responsibly. And since then, now have vacancies beyond our wildest imaginations. We have an authorized sworn strength of 4,000 sworn members. We currently have 3,180, giving us over 800 vacancies for the position of sworn officer. That's the reason why we can't get a handle on crime. We don't have enough police officers, and the legislation that's underlying here in the district prohibits officers from actually doing their job. The way that the city tries to make up for this shortage is by ordering officers to work 2 million hours of mandatory overtime per year. And it just increases the burnout, it increases the frustration, and it increases the attrition rate. So it shouldn't come as a surprise to anyone that we need this assistance. We need these federal agents and we need these National Guardsmen. The concern we have on the ground here is that the president's authority is temporary. He has a 30-day window in which he can provide this level of assistance. And if they pack up their bags and leave and these federal agents are gone and these National Guardsmen drive out of the city and we haven't undone this underlying radical left-wing anti-police legislation, all the cops here are going to be left holding the bag with the same problems we had before they got here. So it's very important that while we're going through this, we understand why the system is broken and how we can fix it, because that's our main concern here, is being able to do this. We have incredible police officers. We have an incredible police department. We absolutely can do the same things that are going on right now that we've seen over the past week. We can do it ourselves. We just need the number of police officers and we need the permission to do so.
Well, and of course, what about the hypocrisy from people like former Democrat Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi? I mean, here she is, the same woman who played a role in refusing to provide the security, the National Guard troops that were requested, that were asked for to be there to guard our Capitol on January 6th. She basically played a role in denying those resources. And now she's attacking President Trump for calling up National Guard and other federal law enforcement resources to help prevent other bad things from happening in our nation's capital. It just seems like par for the course from folks like Nancy Pelosi.
Well, you're absolutely right. And what we're seeing right now is that just since the 7 days of this announcement of this federal control, crime has plummeted. So carjackings are down 86%. Robberies are down 45%. Violent crime is down 22%. Overall, total crime is down 8%. And that's just in the 7 days that we've had this kind of assistance. And so what you're seeing is an anathema to what we've heard for the past 5 years, which was defund the police, you need to get rid of cops, we need to replace police officers with social workers and behavioral health specialists and this goofy idea of violence interrupters. And now what we know, the empirical data is in, that all of those ideas were empirical failures, abject empirical failures. And what we know is that if you take police officers and you put them in communities and you tell them to put handcuffs on bad guys and address criminality, crime plummets immediately. And this flies in the face of everything that we've heard over the past 5 years, which is that the policing is the wrong way to do this. And that's why all of these cities all over the country are experiencing these giant crime spikes. And guess what? If anybody with a shred of common sense can see If you just let cops do their job, they're going to go in, they're going to be professional, they're going to be responsible, and they're going to hold criminals accountable, and we can make any city safe in very short order.
Well, I wonder if you had a real cop actually serving as police chief, that you'd have more of the real on-the-ground perspective calling the shots. But it sounds like they took the chief diversity officer. They plucked somebody out of human resources, the diversity officer, and that's who they made the police chief. And then you've got a far-left mayor. Basically, it sounds like they're ordering, and now the Department of Justice is looking into this, they're basically ordering cops to try to falsify crime data to make things look better than they actually are.
Well, the entirety of the problem falls on the city council. Our police department can operate well, regardless of the leadership. And you know, Chief Smith, she was a civilian for some time, but she did do 25 years as a park police officer for a federal law enforcement agency. The frustration here is not really from police leadership or even from the mayor. The frustration here is that the city council passed a bill that was designed to make cops' lives miserable, prevent them from being able to do their jobs, and expose them to all kinds of liabilities so that they're apprehensive about even doing the right thing in the face of an emergency. So because of that, we've now lost almost 700 police officers in 5 years. We can't hire. They're offering $25,000 signing bonuses, $6,000 housing allowance if you want to become an MPD officer, and we cannot fill the seats in the academy. The academy classes are abysmal, and our attrition rate is off the charts. You know, we're still losing over 120 net sworn police officers per year. So in order to fix this problem, it really doesn't fall on the chief or the mayor. This falls on the legislation that was passed by the city council, and we have to undo that legislation while the federal government is here, because once they pack up and leave, if we haven't undone that, the nation's capital is going to fall into decline once again, and all of these problems that we're driving out are going to come right back.
It's kind of like New York City, isn't it? You know, New York City falls into decay, and then you get somebody, you know, you get a new police chief, you get a mayor like Rudy, they clean it up, they get things better again, people get complacent, they go the other direction, it starts to go downhill. Washington, D.C.'s kind of faced that same type of turbulence. You had Marion Barry days, bad crime, things got a little better, and then boom, now it's a bit of a roller coaster, isn't it?
It is, and we have a unique relationship with the federal government. You know, the District of Columbia is not a state, so we don't have a state legislature. We just have a municipal legislature, a city council, and a mayor, and those bodies have to answer to Congress when they pass laws. And so we have this relationship that is bizarre at times, at least to people outside of the Beltway. But, you know, what we're focused on here is trying to get things right once and for all, because we absolutely can make this a safe city, and it really should be. Washington, D.C. doesn't just belong to the 700,000 residents that live here. It belongs to everyone in this country. It is our nation's capital. It should be a pinnacle of our society. It should represent the tenets of what we all aspire to be. And anyone, whether you're from this country or from another country, wants to come and visit and experience that, they should do that without having to deal with third world criminality in the streets of D.C.
It should be a shining beacon on a hill, right? For not just our nation, but for the whole world. Greg Pemberton is the chairman of the D.C. Police Union. Greg, can you join us for the rest of the hour, or do you got to run? I got to hit a break here in about 30 seconds. Do you want to stick with us, or do you got to run?
Sure. Great. I'll stick around.
Perfect. Yeah, because the other quick question I had for you is just kind of a follow-up. So, you know, in your perspective, are they falsifying the actual crime data in Washington, D.C. to make it look better than it actually is? And what are the cops on the ground actually telling you, et cetera? We'll start there with Greg Pemberton, the chairman of the D.C. Police Union, here right after this quick break right here on Montana Talks. Hey, if you got a quick question or comment, shoot us a message on the Montana Talks app. That's probably the easiest way, because it'll be a really fast a few minutes of the show here right after this.
Your morning cup of Sean. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
If you want to know why security was lost for Ukraine, go back to the point where Bill Clinton convinced the Ukrainians to give up their nuclear weapons after the disintegration of the former Soviet Union. That was their big mistake. They'd still have Crimea. They wouldn't be at war with Russia. There wouldn't be talk about land swaps. There wouldn't be any talk about security guarantees, because they had security guarantees and Russia signed on to them. And in many ways, they were betrayed by all of their European allies and frankly, the United States under Bill Clinton, under Barack Obama and Joe Biden, did not live up to those concerns. So, I mean, I kind of sympathize with the Ukrainians.
The Conservative Underground meets later today on the Sean Hannity Show.
All right, how many times have you told someone, if it ain't broke, don't fix it? Now, that's great advice for most things, but not so much for your cell phone. Look, likely over time, the battery will fade, the processor can't keep up, and maybe it's even fallen in the toilet one too many times. Now, fortunately, thanks to Pure Talk, your cell phone is something you can replace without feeling guilty. When you switch to Pure Talk this month, they're going to give you a Samsung Galaxy A36 for free with a $35 qualifying plan. Just $35 a month for talk and text and data and a free Samsung phone with scratch-resistant Gorilla Glass and a battery that lasts all day. It's all on America's most dependable 5G network. Look, supporting companies like Pure Talk is a good thing. The switch, it is simple, it is fast, it is easy. You dial #250, say the keyword save now to get your free phone today. That's #250, keyword save now. Make the switch to my wireless company, a veteran-owned company, America's wireless company, Pure Talk.
Fox rocks.
I'm Michelle Polino. Sabrina Carpenter, Somber, Alex Warren, and Jay Balvin with DJ Snake are locked in to perform at the 2025 MTV VMAs. Carpenter scored 8 nominations, including Video of the Year for Man Child off her upcoming album, Man's Best Friend. Busta Rhymes will receive the Rock the Bells Visionary Award, while Ricky Martin will be honored with the Latin Icon Award. Lady Gaga leads all nominees with 12, followed by Bruno Mars with 11, and Kendrick Lamar with 10. LL Cool J will host the show September 7th for the first time on CBS and simulcast on MTV and Paramount Plus. Chrissy Hynde, founding member of The Pretenders, is teaming up with a lineup of rock legends for Duets Special. Out October 17th, each of the 13 tracks features a different guest, including The Killers, Brandon Flowers, Garbage's Shirley Manson, Cat Power, Katie Lang, and more. That's Fox Rocks on Fox News.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, quick few minutes left here as we wrap up the 8 o'clock hour of Montana Talks. Coming up in the 9 o'clock hour, it'll be my conversation with the chief of the U.S. Forest Service. I got a chance to catch up with him in Whitefish yesterday. I'll have that audio coming up. Plus, the new lieutenant governor of Florida, a Green Beret, who grew up in Scobie, Montana. So we'll have that coming up in the 9 o'clock hour as well. Back to it here with Greg Pemberton. Not only is he the chairman of the D.C. Police Union, but I think he's got 20 years under his belt as a cop in Washington, D.C. Is currently still an active detective as well. And so thanks so much for your service, Mr. Pemberton. Caroline Leavitt, the White House press secretary, provided an update on making D.C. safe again. I think they've had around 500 arrests thus far. So what are you hearing from the men and women on the ground, your fellow police officers? How bad is the crime in our nation's capital? Is the D.C. government falsifying the crime statistics, the data, to try to make it look better than it actually is?
That's our assumption here. There's a couple of things going on that smells fishy. And one of which is that back in July, a local news affiliate here uncovered a story that one of our police commanders that runs one of the patrol districts was stripped of his police duties and suspended. And the accusation and the allegations were that he was going into police databases and changing felony cases to misdemeanors, cases that had already been filed. And the assumption is that he was doing that to keep the staff in his district down. Now, listen, I'll tell you, I know this commander. I've known him my entire career. He's a stand-up guy. He's somebody that I trust. He's somebody that our members look to for leadership. I can't imagine that he would do this maliciously for his own benefit. Our assumption here is that there was some directive from on high, and I don't know where that was coming from, but telling these police commanders to go back into these databases and change these reports, because that way, over time, it shows the crime is dropping when you pull those felonies off of the year-to-date totals. So there's a lot of questions about that. But on top of that, what our members report to us, and albeit anecdotally, but we hear this in every quadrant of the city when we go talk to our members, is that they go to a crime scene and they interview the victim, and the victim reports that they were the victim of some kind of felony, a robbery or a stabbing even, or some sort of violent crime. And while they're in the process of investigating that case, some management official, lieutenant or captain, or sometimes even the commander would show up on the scene or even just call the officer on the phone and then direct them to take a report for a lesser offense. So what should have been a robbery where somebody's property was stolen at gunpoint turns into a theft case. Or, you know, we've had cases where people are shot, but they're uncooperative with the police. They don't want to tell the police what happened. And then rather than take a report for a shooting, we're taking a report for an injured person to the hospital, which is really just an incident report. It's not even a reportable crime. And, you know, or burglaries where people break into somebody's home and steal their property. Those reports are being taken as unlawful entry and theft, you know, two misdemeanors rather than the felony that it should be. And so we know that on the front end, they're manipulating how the reports are filed. And now it sounds like, granted, these are allegations, but it sounds like there's an investigation into these command staff officials who are going back into databases and doing it on the back end as well. So there's a lot of questions about whether or not this reporting is correct. And on top of that, Jeanine Pirro, who's now the U.S. Attorney for the District of Columbia, she announced yesterday that she's going to be criminally investigating that matter to see, because in fact, changing that kind of data is a crime under the D.C. Code and it should be investigated. And if people are doing that, they should be held accountable.
Yeah, very interesting. Well, great insight, Greg Pemberton, the chairman of the D.C. Police Union. Again, an honor to have you on the show. Thanks for your service. And yeah, if it's happening in Washington, D.C., we could probably almost guarantee it's happening in other blue states, maybe, or blue cities, even in Montana and elsewhere across America. Thanks so much for your time. Thanks for joining us on Montana Talks. Greatly appreciate it.
Darren, it's a pleasure. Anytime.
All right. Yeah, we'll have to get you back on the show again. That was great. Great insight. And especially to get a chance to talk with the source of information when it comes to these big national stories like that. Greatly appreciate you taking the time with Montanans. All right. Coming up in the 9 o'clock hour, the chief of the U.S. Forest Service and much more. Plus, we'll try to sneak in some of your phone calls at 406-294-0970.
Serious is youth vaping. Irreversible lung damage serious. 1 in 10 kids vape serious, which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure like yourself. Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad or the seriously smart podcaster. It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously. The best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Smokey the Bear.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. And remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.